So today I am reading a reflection from Ajahn Amulo again. It's about talking, because now we in the retreat we see many people start talking now, so it's time to remind people. I have been reflecting on the realm of right speech, an area in our life that really swiftly get carried away on the wind, just like autumn leaves of the oak tree and end up all over the landscape. So too, our resolution to be more attentive and more mindful of speech get carried away on the wind of circumstance. We might listen to a Dhamma talk on right speech and take in the various principles expressed by the teacher, but when we encounter each other, we find ourselves wanting to comment on some event in the day that we have seen, heard, or read about. We overhear a conversation between others and find ourselves hanging around the edge, eager to chime in and say, "Oh yeah, I heard about that, yada, yada, yada." And then, off it goes. This is one of the perennial issues of community life. The other day, someone was quoting the little signs they have at What Metta. One of them is the acronym WAIT. Why am I talking? We can apply that sort of inquiry even before we start talking. Why do I need to talk? Is the world going to be a better place if I chime in at this point? Why do I want to get involved? Is it merely to engage for the sake of engaging? Is it an urge to burn some energy and contact? Is it just to fill up space? Is this actually going to be a benefit? Is this going to unite or divide? Is this going to bring clarity to others? Can I restrain the urge to comment, to speech, to put forth some opinion and some perspective? We are a very large community these days. The monks' room have many people passing through at different times. Just before morning puja, at morning tea time, preparing for the morning meeting, during both setups, preparing for the work period, getting changed after the work period, cleaning up after the meal, enjoying evening tea time, before and after evening puja. It's good to be aware that the conversation we think we are having with just one person in the monk's room is actually involving other unseen people, since the Dhamma hall on the other side of the wall is like an echo chamber for the monk's room. This is especially apparent if things are quiet in the hall and there are loud conversations going on in the monk's room. Of course, sometimes there are things really worth talking about, but often it's simply random chatter and only for the sake of engaging. So I encourage us to apply mindfulness and consideration, asking ourselves, is this really worthwhile and might considering that there are probably several people in the Dhamma hall who will have to listen to all this. Is this something that really worth sharing with so many people? Do I need to engage in this, or can I put it aside? In this way, we can notice our accustomed patterns and see what situation draw us into pointless engagement and continue verbal proliferation. When we learn to recognize these situations, we can take action to put ourselves somewhere else. Go sit on the porch, sit on the bench outside, or come into the Dhamma hall. We can choose solitude over putting ourselves in close quarter where talking and pointless chit-chat tend to launch ourselves. This is one of the simplest and most direct way the Buddha encouraged the development of mindfulness and the restraint of the asava, the outflows. We don't put ourselves in situation where that outflowing is going to be encouraged. We put ourselves somewhere else. It's really simple. We are not creating the condition whereby a lack of restraint is being encouraged. Rather, we are inclining toward contentment. Every so often, we need this kind of encouragement to look at our own habits and involvement. When we make the effort to restrain and take the opportunity to disengage, then we can see for ourselves the result, how much quieter and settled the mind can become. There is no need to remember the pointless chit-chat or inquire about information that not really benefit our life. We can recognize for ourselves, look how much more peaceful our mind is while I'm sitting. How much more easeful is this on the work side? When my mind isn't wandering around with all this verbal engagement. To start with, we can learn to wait. Okay.
I'm going to ask if there's any comments.
This is in my mind.
No, because you just talked about being restrained. Very good. Very good.
So I'm going to talk about you. You mentioned Ajahn Dung. When Ajahn Dung here, you ask the question, how to have any technique for us to remember that.
Yeah. So kind of the end of the winter retreat, we were, as a community, kind of talking about right speech. And I remember there were, at that point, three or four senior monks who'd come through, and whenever we had opportunity to ask questions of them, I'd just ask them advice about right speech, and everybody kind of had, you know, something to say. And Ajahn Dung, he's a Lupatui's number two monk at the time, I think.
Lupadong,
yeah. And it's too late. He said, you know, if you're looking for like a technique or some sort of, you know, something to apply, sort of like around right speeches, and if you get to that point, it's too late. So what you need to be doing is developing mindfulness all the time. And he looked at me and goes, right now, where are your shoes right now? Do you know where your shoes are? You don't know where your shoes are. You weren't mindful and you put them away. You know, where's your toothbrush? So facing this way, facing that way. And so you start going through all the sort of all the requisites that you have. And so if you don't know, you know, where they are, then You know, that's, you said that's one way to train yourself. It's just, you know, like when you do anything, just putting just a little bit more kind of, you know, tension onto it, mindfulness. He said in the process of doing that, that's how you develop right speech. So any activity you're doing is and learning mindfulness is will aid you in mindfulness. Is that what you remembered?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.